ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 2, entitled The Symptoms of Kali Yuga, Text Number 3. Dampatye bhiruchir hetu Dampatye bhiruchir hetu Mayaiva vyavaharike Mayaiva vyavaharike Stritve pumstve chahirate Stritve pumstve chahirate Vipratve sutram evahi Vipratve sutram evahi Dampatye, in the relationship of husband and wife. Abhiruchi, superficial attraction. Hetu, the reason. Maya, deceit. Eva, indeed. Vyavaharike, in business. Stritve, in being a woman. Pumstve, in being a man. Cha, and. He, indeed. Rati, sex. Vipratve, in being a brahmana. Sutram, the sacred thread. Eva, only. He, indeed. Translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Men and women will live together merely because of superficial attraction, and success in business will depend on deceit. Womanliness and manliness will be judged according to one's expertise in sex, and a man will be known as a brahmana just by his wearing a thread. Purport. Just as human life as a whole has a great and serious purpose, namely spiritual liberation, fundamental human institutions such as marriage and child rearing should also be dedicated to that great objective. Unfortunately, in the present age, the satisfaction of the sex impulse has become the overriding, if not the exclusive reason for marriage. The sexual impulse, which induces the male and female of almost every species to combine physically and in higher species also emotionally, is ultimately not a natural urge, because it is based on the unnatural identification of the self with the body. Life itself is a spiritual phenomenon. It is the soul that lives and gives apparent life to the biological machine called the body. Consciousness is the soul's manifest energy, and thus consciousness, awareness itself, is originally an entirely spiritual event. When life or consciousness is confined within a biological machine and falsely mistakes itself to be that machine, material existence occurs and sex desire arises. God intends human life to be an opportunity for us to rectify this illusory mode of existence and return to the vast satisfaction of pure godly existence. But because of our identification with the material body is a long historical affair, it is difficult for most people to immediately break free from the demands of the materially molded mind. Therefore, the Vedic scriptures prescribe sacred marriage in which a so-called man and a so-called woman may combine in a regulated spiritual marriage sheltered by overreaching religious injunctions. In this way, the candidate for self-realization who has selected family life can derive adequate satisfaction for his senses and simultaneously please the Lord within his heart by obeying religious injunctions. The Lord then purifies him of material desire. In Kali Yuga, this deep understanding has been almost lost, and as stated in this verse, men and women combine like animals solely on the basis of mutual attraction to bodies made of flesh, bone, membrane, blood and so on. In other words, in our modern godless society, the weak superficial intelligence of humanity rarely penetrates beyond the gross physical covering of the eternal soul, and thus family life has in most cases lost its highest purpose and value. A corollary point established in this verse is that in the age of Kali, a woman is considered a good woman if she is sexually attractive and indeed sexually efficient. Similarly, a sexually attractive man is a good man. The best example of this superficiality is the incredible attention 20th century people give to materialistic movie stars, music stars, and other prominent figures in the entertainment industry. In fact, pursuing sexual experiences with various types of bodies is similar to drinking old wine from new bottles. But few people in Kali Yuga can understand this. Finally, this verse states that in the age of Kali, a man will become known as a priest or a brahmana merely by wearing ceremonial dress. In India, brahmanas wear a sacred thread, and in other parts of the world, members of the priestly class have other ornaments and symbols. But in the age of Kali, the symbols alone will suffice to establish a person as a religious leader, despite his ignorance of God. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svak Padantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langay Tegirim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatharanam Vanshakalpatarupyascha Kripasindubya Evcha Patitanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here we have reached the last canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. All cantos are very interesting, and as we know, it's like a ripened fruit of the Vedic the tree of Vedic literature. Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit. So you bite it from anywhere, it will be sweet. So same way, 12th canto, although it seems like it's a yesterday Jagannath Ram Prabhu was saying it seems like it's a scary description of Kali Yuga here, but actually it's Vegetarian for a person who is pursuing spiritual and transcendental goals. For him, such topics are very. So different topics are mentioned in two, at least three or four subjects are there in this 12th canto, and the first three chapters deal with Kali Yuga. The first chapter, as you saw, there were different the names of different kings were there, and all the degraded dynasties were mentioned and their degraded activities. And this chapter, there is more, there is about symptoms of Kali Yuga. And next chapter is a song by Bhumi Devi or Mother Earth, and she's just laughing on all these kings of these degraded dynasties. So it's a very interesting chapter as well. So there she is just saying these kings just come for some time, try to rule over me and control me, and then they just go. So she is just laughing. So on the stupidity of these materialistic kings, degraded kings. So as in Srimad Bhagavatam, another place it says that one who considers this body made of kapha, pitta, vata, to be all in all, and he considers the place where he has taken birth as worshipable, he's as good as animal, as an ass or a cow, So same way, these kings who come and they try to rule that land, so they are just like animal mentality. They consider the place where they are born and they are trying to rule as everything. So same way, but we have a lesson to learn from here, very interesting lesson, that that this life is temporary. So similar, like first chapter of this canto and pretty much most part of ninth canto, there are so many names given. So one king after another. So by reading these hundreds of names, basically the lesson we have to learn is that it's just temporary. These kings come and they try to rule, and during their period of rule they are very big. They have so much fame, so much power, so much control. But it's just like the word is ephemeral. It's very short, very short. It's just like a bubble. There's a bubble. What's the life of a bubble? Just few seconds. So same way, our life is like that. And by these descriptions of so many names, we have to learn that, oh, this life is actually very short. So we should use it in a best way, like that. So further, this particular chapter, we see various symptoms are given of Kali Yuga. So although it was written just before the beginning of Kali Yuga, Srimad Bhagavatam was written just before, but these predictions were made and they are coming true. We can see Srimad Bhagavatam in action. So, and that's the meaning of actually Shastra Chakshu, when we see life through the scripture. Not only 12th canto, any canto, we can see our daily life. We can see day-to-day activities, and that's the difference between the vision of a devotee and a vision of a common non-devotee. So a devotee sees everything through the vision of scriptures. So it's just like specs, whatever I see is through the specs. The same way we put these scriptures as our medium, and then we can see things clearly, like that. So here all these descriptions were given, and these great sages, Vyasadev, Narad Muni, they are also called, they also know past, present and future, like Lord himself. Lord Krishna is called Trikalagya. He knows past, present and future. Three types of time, past, present and future. So same way these devotees also have a much understanding of past, present and future. And how does that happen? Of course, they are living entity. They may be living entity, but they are pure devotees. So they have been purified. So what happens? They have this very good interaction with the super soul, with the Lord. So Lord reveals to them about past, present, future. So they can reveal to the disciplic succession, further their disciples. So like that. So these sages have also this vision. So that's why when we have any problem, or we approach senior devotees or sannyasis or guru, why? Because they have this broad vision. They can see past, present and future. They can see where we are at and what we need to progress, for our progress in devotional service. So same way, here we see Vyasadev predicted these symptoms that will manifest in the age of Kali, and indeed they are coming true. So the first symptom, actually it's given in first canto, there's also description about Kali Yuga, and there's given that how actually we could see that Kali Yuga has actually started. So the first symptom was when the story is when Parikshit Maharaj went for hunting and he became very thirsty. So he went to the this cottage or hut of this sage Shamika Rishi, and there the Rishi was in meditation. He was meditating on Lord. So actually the etiquette of receiving a guest is actually you welcome the guest, you know, offer a mat, sweet words, some water, like that. But because the sage was engrossed in his meditation, he didn't even notice that king has come. But because it was a plan of Lord, although Parikshit Maharaj was such a strong and a powerful king and a great devotee, apparently he was thirsty and he went there, and he was offended by such a reaction by sage. He just did not notice him. So he said, okay, you are giving me such a welcome, I'll also honor you in a similar way. So there was a dead snake lying there. So he put the dead snake as a garland on the neck of the sage. And when the young son of the sage, Sringi, he came to know about this, he got very angry. And this is how the Kali Yuga entered. So what happened? He made a great offense. That small boy made a great offense, and he cursed Parikshit Maharaj that you will die in 7 days. After 7 days, there would be a snake bird which will bite you and you will die. And this curse made by this small boy was actually an offense to a great devotee, Parikshit Maharaj. But Parikshit Maharaj, he could have counteracted this big curse, because he was such a powerful devotee, and a powerful devotee can do all these things. Because when you see, even while he was in the womb, he was attacked by the Brahmastra, the greatest weapon, the biggest weapon in the universe, by Ashwatthama. He shot this Brahmastra, but he could bear it, and with the help of Lord, he came out of that situation and he took birth and ruled. He was ruling earth. So same way, this he could have counteracted this curse, but this was a plan of Lord that okay, all these incidents happens, and then there would be recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in those 7 days he had got those 7 days. So he retired from the kingdom and he sat at the banks of Ganges, and there he heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Shukdev Goswami. So that was the plan of Lord. But there we see how this Kali Yuga started. This small Brahmana boy, just by and here also we can see in the last part of this verse, it says a man will be known as a Brahmana just by his wearing a thread. So just by his wearing a thread, that okay, I'm born in a Brahmana family, so I'm a Brahmana. So that's how Kali Yuga started. So that small boy gave way to Kali Yuga like that. So this is against the principles of Vedic system that is established by Krishna. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvarnya Maya Shishtam Guna Karma Vibhagsha. So being a Brahmana or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya or a Shudra is based on our qualities and action, activities, Guna and Karma, not on the Janma or birth. So this small boy, he thought, okay, I'm a son of a Brahmana, I'm a great Brahmana, and I'll show this by my prowess, by cursing this king. And he also said many insulting words there in first canto, later chapters of first canto. So there we see how this Kali Yuga came in. And then we are reading this first three today, and then more verses are there. It tells about the symptoms, more symptoms of Kali Yuga. So we'll be discussing that more in detail. And further in today's verse is about how in Kali Yuga especially, this bodily conception of life is so intense in our consciousness, it's so deep rooted that it says men and women will live together merely because of superficial attraction. So there is no concept, there is a And here it says in purport that how these fundamental human institutions are there of marriage and child rearing, but these days it's all lost. They don't have any concept of Vedic culture and these institutions. They are just on superficial attraction on bodily basis. They come together and it's all based on lust. So there's a very nice verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It gives the definition of lust and how lust is just a perverted version of love or real love. So there it gives definition of both lust and love. So it says, Atmendriya Priti Vancha Tare Bali Kama Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhare Premanama. So it says the desire to gratify one's own senses is kama or lust, but the desire to please the senses of Krishna is prema or love. So that's very simple, very short and simple definition. So if we understand that, it will relieve us from great trouble. So and in Bhagavad Gita, as we know, Krishna himself, he declares, Kamesha Krodesha Rajogun Samudbhava Mahashana Mahapapma Vidyena Mihavairinam. So this is the greatest sinful enemy of a man is, or human is, lust. So here it, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, definition is given of lust. So if we desire to gratify our own senses, for selfish, if we do anything for selfish purpose, that's lust. And if we do anything for Krishna's satisfaction or pleasing Krishna's senses, so that is love. So very simple. So our dealing with any, with dealing with Lord or any other living entity, if Krishna is in, of course when we deal with Krishna directly, Krishna is in there, but when we deal with other living entities, if Krishna is in the center, that is also in the category of love, because we interact with any other person for pleasure of Lord, for service of Lord, like that. So that's that is love or prema. Otherwise it's kama. And as definition says in Bhagavad Gita, kama esha krodha esha rajogun samudva. So this lust is actually born out of mode of passion. So all these definitions are given, very clear definitions. So how to deal with, this is a big question, how to deal with this lust, these lusty thoughts are there. And so simple, it's given, mode of passion gives rise to lust. So how to get rid of lust means get rid of mode of passion, very simple. And to cultivate mode of goodness. So mode of goodness, there is given these definition, chapter 14 is about all these three modes. So we can read Bhagavad Gita and learn all these things, how to get rid of mode of passion, these lower modes, mode of passion, mode of ignorance. So what happens, lust is just like fire. So fire, it demands, fire is burning and it demands more fuel. And if we act on those lusty thoughts, it's just like putting fuel to the fire. It will just increase, it won't get extinguished, it will just increase. And then when the lust is not satisfied, then what happens? There's another enemy, there's anger, krodha. So that's pretty much mode of ignorance. Like that, so we again fall down to this lower mode, and then illusion comes, so our mind is bewildered, and that's how material existence continues. If we don't control lust at that point, it's just our material existence, this bodily conception continues on, and we are entangled in, we are stuck in the cycle of birth and death, this samsara chakra, like that. So this and another description actually Burijan Prabhu writes in, for the verse Kama Esha Krodesha, Burijan Prabhu in Surrender Unto Me, he writes that lust is actually it's very subtle, and anger, krodha, which arises from lust is little gross. So if a person is angry, it's visible. You just see his face, his eyes. The eyes would be a little wide or reddish if anger is too much. and see the breathing pattern. You can study the breathing patterns. It will be heavy, heavy, you know. There's examples from many places. Breathing like a snake. You know, snake is very envious, very always angry. You know, just step on it and it will just bite you and try to kill you like that. So like that. It's very easy to see if a person is angry. He'll be, you know, walking fast and, you know, he's trying to put out his anger on someone or something. But lust is very subtle. It sometimes, if lust is there, deep rooted in the heart, it may not be visible. And it looks like, oh, everything is fine. He's a good person. It's just like as we know, the Cheto Darpan Marjanam, this heart, there's all these contamination deep rooted. But when we chant, that dirt of lust, anger, greed, that's cleansed. So it's like the example is given of the attic, the small room on the roof. No one generally goes there. It's like a storeroom. For a few years, no one has gone there, and there's so much dust accumulated in there. But when you go after a long time and open it, everything looks settled there. But as soon as you start cleaning, all the dust arises. And then we say, oh, what happened? It's so much dust there. So lust is like that. Straight away you may not be able to see, and looks like everything is good, everything is settled and going on well. But actually it's not. There's thick layers of lust from long time on our heart. So we need to cleanse it. We'll discuss more about chanting a little later and how it's applicable. So this deep-rooted lust and anger, greed, we have to get rid of these things. And how it, and here we see, we have to use our intelligence. In human life, we have to use our intelligence to control these mind and senses. It's not that impulse, because of lusty thought and impulse comes and we have to act on it. You know. Actually, Jay Prabhu was telling yesterday or day before about before coming to Krishna consciousness, he went to a Buddhist monastery and so it was on the way to his home, and he went to that Buddhist monastery he was seeking something spiritual, so he went there and he asked about, he saw a few things, he spoke to a person, a monk, and he asked, is there food as well? He said, yeah, there's food as well, vegetarian and non-vegetarian. There's two options. And then so he was straight away said, oh, this is not a good place, because first thing, a spiritualist means at least you are compassionate to other living entities and you're vegetarian. But there he was repelled. And also that monk mentioned this point that actually we shouldn't repress our desires like that. If we want to, you know, eat meat, so what's wrong? We should just, you know, go for it. So same way these lusty desires, people think, okay, lusty desires are there, so we have to act on them because they are there. They're natural. It's coming from within, so it's so natural, isn't it? So act on it and work through nature and like that, you know. Be in line, in harmony with your all the thoughts and these desires and try to satisfy them. Then it will be settled. But no, it's not like, it's like putting fuel on the fire. It will ignite more and more like that. So we have to use our intelligence. In human life means intelligence. We have to consider, oh, what is the end result if we act on these desires? And end result is very miserable. So we don't act. We try to purify them, purify such desires. And from karma, we try to develop prema. So, and as we know, mind is very flickering. So all these lusty desires are like popping up in the mind. So there's a very interesting example about mind. It's like, if there is a country, for example, Australia, and Australian army is there, and there's another country, enemy country. So we know there's a danger from this enemy side. Of course, there is a clear danger, okay, the other country may attack and, you know, kill citizens and soldiers. So, of course, we know clearly that this is our enemy and we have danger, we have to fight with them. But, and these are soldiers of enemy, other country, so we have to fight with them, kill them. But if there is a person from that country who comes to Australia and who works in the Australian army and he says, oh, I'm your friend. So actually he is more dangerous. So he's from the enemy country and he is saying, no, I'm your friend. So actually he's more dangerous than the actual enemy outside. So same way, mind is like that. Mind is like that. So mind says, oh, I'm your friend. I'm your friend. Everything is good. Everything. Actually, this example Radhanath Maharaj gives in one of his lectures. So mind says everything is good, everything is going on very nicely. I'm your friend, everything is good. But then that at one step it just smashes your all endeavors towards spirituality, and there's one big bang in the mind, and you can't stop yourself. So that's how mind works. It's like the enemy, but he says he's your friend. So we have to use our intelligence to not be bewildered by the tricks of mind. And by reading, by sharpening our intelligence, by constant Nityam Bhagavat Seva, by constantly associating with devotees, by constantly serving devotees, by constantly reading Srimad Bhagavatam and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, our intelligence is sharpened. So then we cannot get bewildered by these traps of mind like that. So here we see about Kali Yuga and how these effects of Maya are intensified in Kali Yuga. But there is a way. It's not that, okay, we are in Kali Yuga, we are in Maya, so what can we do? There are ways given that we may not be, we can actually counteract the effects of Kali Yuga. And later on that famous verse comes that everything, this Kali Yuga is like the ocean of faults, but there is one good thing, that's the chanting of holy name. By chanting you can get liberation. So that's the one good thing. So it's just like, you know, that's when we see many positive attitude books are there. I used to read many. So they say there is a cup of water. This cup of water is half filled. So it's our viewpoint. If you are positive, you'll say, oh, it's half filled. If you have a pessimistic mentality, you'll say it's half empty. You know? So like that. So Kali Yuga, actually, the cup is fully empty. There is one drop there. So devotees actually see that one drop. And people see, oh, it's just ocean of faults. Other transcendentalists, they think this ocean of faults, cup is empty. But devotees see that no, in Kali Yuga there is this one good thing about that we can get highest benefit by chanting Hare Krishna, like that. So this is how we can get rid of influence of Kali. So as we know that when Krishna was present, straight after battle of Kurukshetra, Kali had entered. But because Krishna was present, Kali couldn't manifest its symptoms. Because Krishna was present. But as soon as Krishna left, these symptoms started to manifest. So now, as we know, holy name is non-different from, it's identical with Krishna himself. So if we chant Hare Krishna, so Krishna is present and then Kali won't act. So this is the trick actually. So if we just take this chanting process very seriously, then Kali cannot act. So another interesting thing Prabhupada writes in first canto purport, he says how to defeat death. Everyone wants to defeat, no one wants to die. So he says how to defeat death. So there he says if you just constantly chant glories of Lord, constantly chant the holy name. And we know that Yamraj, he is one of the great Mahajan, he is a great devotee. And you all constantly do kirtan and invite him in your kirtan. So then you are actually free from death. And he likes to be these invitations. There is Prabhupada, right? See, Yamraj likes these invitations to kirtan. You can call him on Harinam or, you know. So he would like it. And then by constantly chanting, we can get rid of this cycle of birth and death. And another, so now the only thing is how to improve chanting and chant offenselessly, chant purely. So there is one very good example I heard yesterday. It says, it's like when you, if you want to call someone, if you want to call someone, you and fix an appointment, you know, you dial his, you have a mobile number, 10-digit mobile number, so you dial and talk to him, and you know, then you can meet him. So same with this Hare Krishna Mahamantra is like a number, mobile number. It's a 16-digit number. So there are 16 rounds we do. So, but if we want to call a person and we press one digit wrong, we can't reach that person. So same way, we may chant few mantras, few rounds very nicely, but if we just don't chant every round nicely, so then how will we talk to Krishna or fix our appointment? So Prabhupada has given this number actually. He said 16 rounds, 4 regulative principles you do in this day and age, you can see Krishna face to face. It's very simply Prabhupada mentioned this, that if you do just these 5 things, chant 16 rounds, 4 regulative principles, you'll go back to Godhead after this life. He assures that. So we just have to dial this number correctly. You know, it's very simple. And so we can avoid the influence of Kali Yuga, we can see with the presence of Krishna. So I would like to end there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed.
You described us very well. Thank you very much about the dust definition of our situation. Close breathing, so much dust. Oh, yeah. But how to please Krishna senses? Can you elaborate? How to please Krishna senses a bit more?
It's just we act on his instructions. Krishna's instructions coming through Guru and Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam.
Main
points is Hari Naam. As Mahaprabhu, I also wanted to mention that, but we don't have much time. When Mahaprabhu went to Varanasi, he had and met the Mayavadis, Prakashanand, headed by Prakashanand Saraswati there, and they were astonished. Why are you dancing and chanting like a madman? Why don't you read Vedanta? So he said, when I met my Guru Maharaj, he said, you are fool number one. You just chant Hare Krishna. So actually, he was teaching us that in this day and age, this is the method. So to follow Krishna and please Krishna. So he, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, came as the best devotee to teach us that how to please Krishna. So he was topmost devotee. And then he told Prakashanand Saraswati and other sannyasis there. And he said, my guru told me another mantra after that. He said, Hare Naam, Hare Naam, Hare Naam Eva Kevalam, Kalau Nastev, Nastev, Nastev Gathir. Three times it stressed that only by chanting the holy name Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, three times, I mean, not three times, he stressed on it, that we can get. In Kali Yuga there is no other way. So especially if we concentrate on that, so we can get rid of effects of Kali and please Krishna.
Other point, Asat Sandhya, hey Krishna.
Oh yes.
Mahaprabhu says if you leave the bad company, then you can please Krishna better. Because association is most important. Two points.
Yeah, thank you. Any other questions or comments?
So we are part and parcel of Krishna. In the beginning we must be very, very pure. How did over the years we got contaminated?
Oh, it's just like yesterday. Prabhu is saying that we are part of Krishna, we are pure. So how over time we got covered with all these material dirt
contamination.
So it's just like example is of the Krishna has, one thing is Krishna has given us minute independence. That's one thing. And example is of fire. There is a big fire and fire has small sparks. Okay. So as that spark has same quality as the fire, but it has different quantity. So as long as spark, you can see fire and there are few sparks on top of it, they just look like fire. So as long as that spark stays in the fire, it's pure. But as long as it goes away from the fire, it is extinguished and it's covered. So same way, because of our misuse of independence, we have come little far from the fire, main fire, and we are on the verge of being extinguished. So by this chanting process, here chanting, hearing process, we are again trying to enter the fire of Krishna consciousness. Is that okay? Any other questions or comments?
You can also explain on the use of association.
Yes.
And, bad association.
Hearing and sorry?
A bad association can kill the soul completely.
Yes. That's right. And hearing and chanting has to be done in association of devotees. So then it's very nice. We need each other to chant. Chanting and hearing alone is not fun. If we discuss what we... So yesterday a devotee told me that example. He heard Loknath Maharaj's... I was just walking. I thought yesterday, oh, I have to speak tomorrow and need some point on chanting. And there was this devotee. I asked, Prabhu, have you heard any point on chanting? He said, oh, this 16-digit number, you have to dial. He had heard Loknath Maharaj's lecture. I said, oh, this is very nice. So by what's the verse? Machitta madgat prana bodhyanta parasparam katyantasya mam nityam tushanti charamanti. So by this exchange of Krishna conscious topics, it's very lively. Devotees are satisfied by these conversations. So in association of devotees, that can happen. Okay, okay. Last question. Oh, that's the verse, I think 35. Verse number 35 of 3rd chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Kamesha Krodhesha. 3rd chapter, 35th verse, I think. Kamesha Krodhesha, Rajogun Samudbhava. There in purport. And as well as, yeah, in purport, Prabhupada writes that to the, sorry? It must be somewhere else as well, but I just read the purport of that verse and Purijan Prabhu's commentary as well in Surrender Unto Me to that verse. So that's very nice. Yeah. Okay, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande.